It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
All right, I'm going to talk fast, eh? Because we don't have a whole lot of time. Got a lot we got to do. Yes, I'm still on vacation. I guess you would call that a two-day getaway with our family. We're leaving out of here today. It's been fun it's just been good. Being with the grandkids, getting away from all of it. Normally I do announcements, that kind of stuff at the top of the show. I'm not going to do that this morning, but maybe we'll do it at the second half. I got Mark Harrington with Created Equal, who has agreed to join us this morning. He's got to be done by about 7:30, so we're gonna jump. Oh, thank you, sweetheart. First of all, make coffee. We're gonna jump right into it. I want to say first, before we get rolling here, I want to publicly credit Mark every time I get a chance. That Mark's the one that got me into this battle. Mark Harrington, he's the one that taught me how to do my first newsletter. We were on the radio, terrestrial radio, together. I did 10 o'clock, and he did 1 o'clock, or he did early before that. We did Saturday mornings. We had him locked up as he was the activist, radio activist. And he runs the ministry Created Equal, having to do with abortion and ending abortion. So I've been at it, golly, 18 years, and it's all because of the direction that Mark gave to me. I'm going to say this about Mark. I got a lot of people in the pro-life battle, call it whatever you want to, a lot of people who come in and go and come in and go and fade away. Mark Harrington, if I pick up the phone and I say, hey, Mark, I need some advice, he's always there. He never says, I don't have time. He never says, I can't do that. He always says, how can I help? How can I help? And most of you know Mark. Maybe you don't know Mark, but he's the guy that's come up with the idea of the Jumbotrons, takes the Jumbotrons down to the March for Life, takes the State House, takes the big Jumbotron that shows the aborted babies. People hate it. They hate him. They try to block him out of the March for Life, all of that stuff. And Mark said he takes the big pictures because it's crazy to have a march where you don't have the victims represented. And so that's what he does. He takes the victim. So we're going to talk today a little bit. He's been under some assault, and I've been under some assault, and I'm not going to get into it. He's not going to get into it. Is supporting, what is the heart, what are heartbeat bills, by the way? And is supporting a heartbeat bill compromising with God? In other words, if we can't say all babies, let's don't save any of them. And the heartbeat bill, all that heartbeat bill does is give politicians a way out. Instead of going for total abolition, they'll take that heartbeat bite every time. And we can't win by incrementalism. Although I just saw today, Mark, I don't know if you saw this, that now they're trying to do away with Bible reading down in Texas. That's incrementalism, by the way. They're trying to now trying to change the laws on pedophilia, saying if the gap between the guy who abuses and the kid is 10 years, or less, then you don't have to register as a sex offender. They are incrementally taking every aspect that now we look in New York, what's going on in New York. The state incrementally jumped ahead of what they know is coming down with Roe versus Wade, and they incrementally made a law saying now, okay, we can kill babies after they're born. Sooner it'll be handicapped babies. Sooner it'll be grandmas and grandpas who are in nursing homes. They always win by incrementalism. Yet, Mark, incrementalism on our side is evil. Come on in here, man.
I appreciate it, Coach. You know, as 1973, Roe versus Wade, NARAL, the National Abortion Rights Action League, said, and I want you to get the parallels here. They said that we shouldn't criminalize abortion because abortionists will break the law anyway, right? That was the argument. Women are going to have abortions. Abortionists are going to break the law. Don't criminalize abortion. Keep it safe, legal, whatever. And in 2019, some anti-abortion activists are using the same argument to try to stop and save as many babies and criminalize most abortions. They're saying, well, don't pass that law, even though it'll criminalize most abortionists, abortions because abortionists will still kill babies anyway.
They'll just break the law, huh?
That's right. It's the same argument that NARAL used in 1973 and 2019. Anti-abortion activists, Christian brothers and sisters that I know, are using the same argument to keep abortion legal because they don't have the perfect law, even though it'll end most abortions. So I find them to be strange bedfellows. Let's just say that.
So, Mark, we're down here in the cabins in the Hocking Hills area. Michelle and I were out for a walk yesterday after the show. We were talking about this, and I said this. I said, you know what? If our house caught on fire, your house, Mark, the big mansion you live in, would you run in and try to save any of your stuff? Or if you couldn't save it all, you weren't going to save any. Would you go in and try to get as much stuff out as you could? Or would you just let it all burn down and say, listen, if I can't save it all, I'm not going to save any of it? What would be your approach?
Obviously. Of course, we'd go in and save everyone we can. And that's what we've been doing for 20 or whatever years. I've been doing that. You know, in 2006, Coach, we had the first abortion ban in America introduced here in Ohio. And I was one of those standing with Tom Brinkman, Representative Tom Brinkman, at the State House. No one had ever entered an abortion ban into the legislature before in America. It happened in Ohio 2006. I was there. I stand for a total, elimination, total bans of abortion. I've always done that. Always.
You're an abolitionist. You're abortion abolitionist then, huh?
If you want to use the term, I guess, then that's in the sense of the word, yes. But in 2011, when the heartbeat bill was introduced, I said, this has got to be the next step. We didn't get it done. We need to get it done. And we're going to get it done. Changing the legislature, changing hearts and minds of the culture, one step at a time, changing the law, one step at a time, as we get to the point that we can end it all. The point is, we all want to end abortion. There's no question in anyone's mind, or shouldn't be. Everybody that's in this battle, at least the ones I know, I've never met anybody that's in this battle to regulate abortion, and that's the end game. That's just not how it operates. We are all here to end it. We just have a different strategy to get there. We believe you have to do it incrementally because it happened incrementally, and that's just the way it works. So
yeah, but
that's why
but Mark,
I support the heartbeat bill.
It's evil. It's evil because when you pass a heartbeat bill, you are saving some of the babies, but you're sentencing the others to death, Mark. You are not taking into consideration that even those babies without heartbeats, they deserve to live as well. And because you take that stance and you just save some of the babies, what's your abomination and unrighteous?
Well, my question would be this. If we hold out for the perfect against the good, we hold out and never pass or never try to pass anything other than a total ban, what about all the babies that have been saved using these measures? There's no question about it. Dr. Michael New, a friend of mine who teaches at Notre Dame now, has done extensive research on incremental laws, if you want to call it. I like to call them prudence, building fences around evil. He has done extensive research on this and found that these laws, whether it be cutting funding, eliminating tax funding, 24-hour wait periods, judicial, all the things we've done in 46 years, those have saved lives. And so I'd say to those folks who just want to hold out for the total ban and don't want to do anything else, what about all those babies that have been saved? Would it have been okay that they would die so that we keep true to our word, that we're only going to pass these total bans? And you know what, Coach? Many would say yes.
Yes, it would
be okay, because it'd be better to be pure to our, belief that we only can do these total bans than it would be to save as many as we could. And
okay,
it just,
so,
I don't know how that's not, if that's not evil, I'm not sure what is.
So, Mark,
you can save some lives and you won't in order to save them all. I just don't get it. I mean, we've got to save as many. We do that every day. We don't save them all every day. I go out on the sidewalk in front of an abortion clinic. I'm not going to save them all that day. I'm going to save as many as I can. It's just another venue in which we use the tools we have, which is the law, to save as many as we can on the way to save them all.
Okay, so Mark, if I live out in the country and I want to get some chickens, and I want to get some chickens because they give us eggs, right? But I've got this problem. Every night, those daggone coyotes and raccoons, they come around and they want to kill the chickens. It's the most unbelievable things. So here's what Michelle and I started doing. Just before we went to bed at night, we went out and we gathered as many eggs as we could and we took them in the house. We got 20 on Monday. And then we get up on Tuesday and those daggone the coyotes been around again, but we still were able to get in and we were to salvage 20 more eggs that day. And you know, Mark, at the end of the week, we got 100 eggs. We lost some chickens. I don't know how many eggs we lost, but we got 100 in our refrigerator of the ones that we saved. That's pretty smart, isn't it?
Yeah, and it mattered to them.
It mattered to those.
It mattered to the
babies. Matters to me when I eat them. Matters to me when I eat them, right?
Exactly.
Hey, Coach, I have a...
All the babies that have been saved since 1973, believe it, it matters to them. That is not evil. That is good.
That's right. Somebody come in. I heard something.
Yeah, I got a question. Of course, it's kind of a rhetorical question. Maybe Mark can help. Hey, Mark, Pastor Dale here. When World War II was going on and did we shut down all the concentration camps at the same time, or did we conquer certain areas and begin to shut them things down incrementally? I guess using those terms. We had 17 freestanding abortion clinics in Louisiana in 2001. Right. We only have 3 left. Not one abolitionist bill did any of that. That was simply Christians coming out and doing what we're supposed to and standing at the gates of hell.
Amen.
And then, Dale.
In Ohio, we had 13. 13 in 2013. We have 7 today. That is due in large respect to what you're saying, Christians going out on the sidewalk. But it's also because of these laws that have restricted, you know, these abortion mills to follow the normal laws that other so-called health clinics are supposed to follow, and they can't do it, so they shut down. Yet, those would be criticized too,
but Mark,
because they don't go all the way.
Isn't Planned Parenthood and NARA, aren't they in an uproar over these heartbeat bills? Aren't they fighting them for all they're worth? If they don't do any good, why are they fighting against them?
Well, I'm going down to the State House today for opponent testimony. That means that NARAL, Planned Parenthood, and all the rest will be there. They know this is a threat to legal abortion in Ohio.
Incrementalism, right? They understand incrementalism.
Yeah, they do. I mean, and the word has been misused. Let's say, I like to call it prudence. That means being smart. And law is just building fences around evil, all right? Every law, it can't eradicate the evil. It doesn't eradicate sin. We know that, right? Because our hearts aren't, you know, our hearts are evil, so we're going to sin. Even a law that we pass that ends abortion is really just going to put a fence around murder. It doesn't end murder. So every single law is just a restraint against evil. That's what the civil government is meant to do. Build fences, barriers, if you will, to contain it. That doesn't mean we don't pass them to try to end it, at least make it clear that a murderer is wrong and abortion is murder. Don't get me wrong there. But we build fences around evil. And the fact that abortionists are going to try to break the law, I mean, that's true with every law. There's going to be people that are going to break it no matter what you do, but some won't. Some won't. And we think abortionists won't follow the law. I beg to differ. We don't know until we do it, but I interviewed Dr. Kathy Altman from the Lozier Institute. She's a former abortionist. I asked her about this. I said, is the heartbeat bill enforceable? And she said, yes, it is. And she gave me 2 reasons. She said, first of all, you can say what you want about the abortionist. I was one. We try to follow the law because we don't want to lose our license. She goes, we're normally OBs, too. We're delivering babies. We don't want to lose our license, number one. And number two is that, the women and others, she said the pathology. Every time an abortion is performed, they have to go in and figure out the age. They make a report and stuff like that. When babies are being killed at 12, 11, 12, 13, 14 weeks, and they do the pathology and they confirm that, everybody knows there's a heartbeat then.
Science knows that. Science knows it.
So they know they're lying if they're killing those babies up to 20 weeks or whatever, 10. Now, you might get away with it at 5 and 6 and 7 weeks, you know, the, you know, ultrasound won't pick it up or whatever. But, I mean, there's going to be a whole lot of children that will be saved. And if they break the law, you just have to enforce it. Enforcement's a problem with any law, whether it's pro-life or anything else. That's not a reason not to pass it.
Let me throw this out here, Mark, because I believe the elephant in the room has been the idea of judicial supremacy, that abortion cannot be overturned because the Supreme Court says it cannot be overturned. And we see here in Ohio when Governor Kasich just vetoed it, that our side, actually, Mark, Right to Life, said, well, it's going to be challenged in the courts and we're going to lose in the courts. That's been the mantra that they've all been going. It won't pass. We're wasting time or wasting money. And Mark, what's going to happen, I believe, somebody's going to pass a heartbeat bill, Ohio, Mississippi, somebody's going to do it. And it's going to go to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court's going to rule that is a state's issue. That's where I see this going. And then when they say the heartbeat bill in Ohio is therefore constitutional because it's under the purview of the state, let's say, people are going to say, wow, what? You mean the Supreme Court can't rule about abortion in Ohio? And that will open the floodgates to us pushing back once we bring down that Goliath of the judicial fiction that the courts make law and the Supreme Court has made the ruling against all abortions being legal. You follow that? You agree with me?
I do. I don't think we should throw over the federal judiciary altogether. I know I'm like you. I think the judges and the whole thing's a mess. And, you know, they're all activist judges and they're making wrong decisions and such. But if you look at Washington right now, we got a window with Donald Trump. I mean, we put two guys in. It's likely Ruth Bader Ginsburg's going to retire. We got another one maybe. If he gets reelected, we could have another two or three. We could get 6-7 justices on that court that could overturn Roe versus Wade. I mean, we've never, ever, Coach, been in that position.
Ever.
To throw that strategy under the bus, to me, makes absolutely no sense. Do we work the other side, too? Of course. So, you know, do we defy Roe? Do we say it's unconstitutional? Do we tell the states to stand up against it? Of course we do. But we don't want to throw away the thing that we've worked for.
Work both ends of it, Mark.
Years. You got it.
Work
you
both ends
it.
Of it, man. So, Mark, help us out here real quick for those who maybe don't understand. Explain the science behind a heartbeat bill. When does the heartbeat begin? How many children possibly are going to be saved if this were initiated? And as you said, it will be in Ohio. It will be in Mississippi, Mark.
I mean, it's a done deal. Well, it's a done deal. I'm down there talking to the legislators. The governor said he's going to sign it. They're fast tracking this thing. That's why we're going there today. We can see this done by Easter, Coach. I mean, it's possible. Wow. But it basically, the heartbeat begins about 18 weeks. It's not detectable, however. Well, it can be. But anyway, a woman doesn't know she's pregnant until 4 or 5 weeks, right? So she goes in, and you can detect a heartbeat at that stage, which means if you can detect a heartbeat, the baby's protected, period. Now, there's debate about, you know, transvaginal heartbeat versus transabdominal and which one detects it earlier. The transabdominal, which is what is used in the bill, detects it a little later. So it's unlikely they're going to be detecting a heartbeat at 5-6 weeks maybe, but it could be 7-10, what have you. And once it is detected, then the abortionist can't go ahead with the abortion. And I understand everyone, oh, he's going to do it anyway. He's a murderer. It's all true. It's all true. It's possible some of these babies are going to be killed anyway. But let's say we save half of them. Half of them. That's 10,000 a year just in Ohio. Believe me, that will shut down mills. That will close. Abortionists will quit. I mean, it's just, it'll be a sea change, paradigm, total sea change.
So, Mark, we hear them say all the time, you're going to force women into backroom abortions. That's what you're going to do, which makes your point that no matter what the law is, somebody's going to break it. Now, folks, be smart for me here a second, right? Is murder done out in the open where everybody can see where there are a lot of witnesses, or are the murders in back room alleys? Huh? Where do all murders? People don't murder people out in the middle of the street. So if they're going to murder people, make them do it in a back room in an alley. Yes or no, Mark?
Yes. I mean, the law is a moral guidance to culture in part. Of course, it's there to execute justice, but it's also moral guidance. When people think something is moral, they think it's right. They say it's immoral. They think it's wrong. Women won't kill their babies because it's against the law, because law means moral to a lot of people.
That's right.
So they're going to choose not to abort just simply because it's against the law. And when they think it's against the law, it's got to be immoral. That's going to happen. But I mean, people are going to break the law and they're going to go do it anyway. That's never a reason not to pass a law. I mean, it's ridiculous. We don't do that for rape or bank robbery or anything else.
So, Mark, I'm going to open it up for questions here a second, but just make sure that we're on the same page, Mark.
All right. I got one thing to add before you do.
Okay. I'm going to ask you this, and then, because I'm trying to help the audience think through this. By the way, Mark's got a radio program called The Radio Activist. It's on three stations here in Ohio, but it's also archived at his website, createdequal.org. We'll get to that in a second. Mark, I get talking like that, then I lose my train of thought. So I'm going to shut up a minute until it comes back. Because it's a great question. Great point. Oh, here's what it is. Mark, I'm going to whisper here a second. Do you think doctors know when the heartbeat begins? So if a woman comes in and she's 12 weeks pregnant, do you think the abortionist knows she probably has a heartbeat? And is the abortionist going to risk? What if this abortion is a setup and we send a woman in who we know is pregnant and we get the doctor to perform an abortion when she didn't have a heartbeat? Don't we have us like an $800 billion lawsuit, Mark?
Absolutely. That's why I say these later term, second trimester, late first trimester abortion are ostensibly banned once this bill is passed. There's just no doubt in my mind that's what's going to happen. And I just don't understand how people can't get behind it. Let me, before you go to the questions, let me share something. Folks use Isaiah 10:1 when it says, woe to those who enact iniquitous decrees. You've heard that, right? They'll say that, well, this is an iniquitous decree, the heartbeat bill. Laws that criminalize murder aren't iniquitous. Laws that decriminalize murder are iniquitous. In other words, Roe v. Wade, even though it's not a law, the laws that are passed in New York, those are iniquitous. We know we're saying we are now making abortion legal up until, you know, the time of birth. Those are iniquitous. Those laws that restrain evil, limit it. We're not passing laws to make abortion legal if there's not a detectable heartbeat.
We're restoring the law.
Guess what? That's already legal. That's already legal. We didn't pass that law. That law was in place. So how are we responsible for the babies who they can't detect a heartbeat for? That's not my responsibility. I didn't pass that law. That law was passed long before me. I'm trying to reduce, limit, fence,
Restore the law. That's not iniquitous, coach.
Saving lives is not iniquitous. These laws save lives, and they didn't legalize abortion. They're restraining, restricting, putting fences around abortion. I don't see that as iniquitous.
I don't see it. Great point.
I don't know how they use that verse. It's misused.
Go ahead, Larry.
Do you guys think that there's any one of us listening, or even of those that are out there saying that incrementalism is bad, would say that God should stop dealing with us incrementally?
Good point. I mean, he calls us to not sin immediately, but we know the human heart, we know we don't usually right away. I mean, it's just the way it operates. So, yeah, human nature. We got to work with people.
Hey, Mark, I know you only got a few minutes left. Let's move away from the heartbeat bill a minute, because you get all kinds of crap. Maybe I shouldn't use that word. My mom would wash out my mouth. You get into all kinds of trouble because you show the victims. You show the bloody pictures. For those, I believe there are those who are listening right now, Mark, that maybe are uncomfortable with it. They're uncomfortable with the bloody pictures. Make the case for us real quickly, if you can. Why they work? Why they're effective, why they're needed?
Well, there's two reasons. One, abortion has to be seen to be understood, just like any injustice. We don't get it until we see it. Visuals are powerful because they're like a data compression device. They communicate a very, very complex message at a glance. Americans in the world today learn visually. I mean, these are all reasons. Everybody else gets it. For some reason, we don't. I mean, the world operates using visuals. Every company in the world uses visuals nowadays. Social reformers have done it historically, whether they're civil rights activists or anti-war activists. They understand the victims have to be seen. But beyond that, Coach, to me, it's a personal thing. These are the only representation of those victims, and I need to stand with them. And when I stand next to one of those, at some level, I participate in the suffering of those babies because of the scorn that comes upon us for standing with them.
And we ought to have to look at it, right?
Right. And to me, it's personal. It's not about whether they work or not, even though that's important. If the victims were dead next to me, I'd stand right next to them and take the heat. I'd take the heat that that victim took. And to me, it's just it's a way of carrying the burden of them along with us. So it's just, we're called to do it.
Mark, you remember the stories I said back during the Holocaust that Eisenhower ordered the people to go in the cities and bring the people out so that they could see it. So they would never forget what they saw, right, in the Holocaust. Okay. And what happened during the civil rights, we had pictures of the water hoses squirting people and the dogs after people. And it was the images that forever changed things in the minds of the people. And that's why I know George deals with it. I know a lot of guys here in the Cube deal with it. When they go to the abortion clinic, people don't want the pictures. They say they don't work. They don't work, Mark. Pictures don't work.
Well, like I said, they work everywhere else. Why wouldn't they work here? It's just odd. We just have a blinder on. We don't want to offend. It's all about that. It's all about offending people. We don't want to offend. We want to be nicer than Jesus. We want to be, and you know, we want to be kind. We want to be winsome and all that. But, you know, when Jesus, you know, we're going to offend people. And this is a way to get them to think. Gets them to think.
Jared, Mark, I'm going to be sensitive to your time. Jared, pull up his
website.
That's
all right. I got a couple more minutes.
Pull up createatequal.org. Pull that up for us real quick. Mark, I want you to talk about justice rides. I see Austin Beigel's in here. Hey, Austin, it's good to see you, man. And Lexi's going to go on your ride this one coming up. Lexi Hall's going to go on your justice ride. And you have made the determination, brother, that you're going to go get the young people. You're going to go get to. So, folks, look on your screen right now. Mark, we've got a video up here of the justice ride. Or, Jared, see if you can show that very first picture, even, Jared, where all these young people come out dressed in black. Mark's got them dressed. There's a lot of good stuff at createatequal.org. But, Mark, you're the only ministry that I know of in America who is training the next generation to fight the Holocaust of abortion. There you are, folks. Look at your screen right now. Mark Harrington takes young people and trains them in the abortion debate. Talk to us a little bit about that, Mark.
Well, that's why I started Create Equal in 2011, because I didn't feel like we were doing a good job in reaching the next generation. You know, I'm not getting any younger. You know, I knew that 10 years ago. And I knew that if I were going to do this, you know, and I pass away, I didn't want it to die with me. You know, we need to hand off the baton to the next generation. So we weren't doing a good enough job. And I set my mind to that. That's all we do. We train up the best, the brightest, the sharpest, the boldest students in America to go out onto the campuses, high school and college, and debate others on abortion. And we're raising up a team of fighters. These kids are the best. And so we load up a charter bus and we head to Florida. We're going to head there on Saturday. 58 students with our
Lexi
staff.
Lexi's gone with them.
Yep. And then we train them and we take them out. We train them on the bus. We train them in the classroom. We train them at dinner. We train them at lunch. We take them out. We believe that students learn best on the job. They don't learn just in the classroom. They got to learn when they put it into action.
Amen. Amen. So again, folks, Mark is handing it off to the next generation. Hey, but Austin, can you get in here, man? Can you? I don't want to impose on you, Austin, but I coached Austin Beigel when I was down at Fairfield Christian, and he ended up being one of the warriors for Mark. And I see you're in here, but I don't know if you can just click on the microphone, Austin, and it unmutes you. That little red thing. If you just click on that, there you go, brother. Hey, Austin, just tell us a little bit about. How old are you right now, Austin, and what has Created Equal done in your life? Do we have him, Jared?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there we go.
All right. Hey, Coach. Yeah, I'm 22 years old, and you know, I first saw that image of an abortion at Fairfield Christian Academy when you were my coach, and you brought that picture of an abortion. It was in your car, and I was walking back to school, and I saw that in your car, and you brought it out for us to look at, and I saw that picture, and that messed me up, and I went home, and I started praying, and that picture was in my mind, and it was in my mind, and I asked God, I said, Lord, if you want me to do something about this, you know, give me a sign here. I've never seen anything like this. And then Created Equal and Mark Harrington, Seth Dreher came to my high school, and they trained me in apologetics. And you know, I haven't looked back from there. And so now I'm working for Mark full time now, married. So a full time missionary doing that, trying to end abortion.
Austin, you're not married to Mark, are you, Austin?
No.
Okay.
Never.
Amen. So a little bit of fruit from that, Austin, and it makes a difference in the lives of young people, doesn't it, brother? Because you know, for the most part, high school kids, Austin went to a Christian school. They didn't talk about abortion at the Christian school. Come on, let's wake up. They didn't talk about it. And so then Austin got this burning in his heart, and then he got involved with other like-minded Christians on the abortion debate. And there's a lot of them out there, aren't there, Austin? A lot of people out there who really care.
Yeah, this message strikes a lot of people. You know, there's a lot of young Christians looking for their purpose in life, and I really think we need to direct them into this fight. It's not something that, you know, it's just certain people's calling. This is something everyone needs to be a part of. Every young person growing up, you know, people, you know, I had career dreams. I love politics. I got a political science major from Ohio State. I would have loved to work in politics, but, you know, I don't think it's the time for that right now. I think it's the time for young people to be out there on the streets fighting this fight and saving lives.
Amen, Austin. God, I love you, man. I'm so proud of you. So proud of you. Hey, Mark, just a few minutes. I know you got to get rolling. You can stay all day, but if you got to go, you got to go.
I got to get ready. We're going down to the state house. Got to be there by 9:00.
Well, talk about this a little bit, Mark. Or, Mark, talk about Mark Harrington Live, the radio activist, where they find all that stuff. Just the usual promo stuff that we want people to know about.
MarkHarrington.org is the website. You can follow us on Facebook at the Mark Harrington Show. And then if you live in Columbus, Ohio, Cleveland or Detroit, we are over the Salem radio stations right there. You can watch those or listen to those on Saturdays over the air terrestrial radio. This is the kind of stuff we deal with just like you, Coach. I mean, we take the issues and we try to unpack them from a biblical worldview and get people in the game. The whole idea is to get people in the game, get them in the battle.
Amen. Amen. Well, time for one or two questions real quickly. Anybody? Speak now or forever hold your peace.
Hey, Coach, let me end with a scripture, would I?
Sure.
You know, Jesus, I was reading this the other day in Luke 9. Jesus, you know, they came to him and they said, this is Luke chapter 9. Let's see here.
Get you back in here.
Verse 49. Luke 9, verse 49. It says, John answered and said, Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to hinder him because he does not follow along with us. And Jesus said to him, don't hinder him, for he who is not against you is for you.
Amen. Amen.
We gotta learn that lesson, brother. I mean,
hey, you know,
the way we do things.
We gotta learn to play together, huh? We gotta learn to play together.
But if they're not against us, they're for us. We got to know who our enemies are. I mean, our enemy is the evil one, Satan himself. And we do have flesh and blood enemies. I'm not discounting that. There are people out there who are our enemies, but they ain't us. they ain't the other guys that think, you know, we need to only abolish abortion all at once. They're not my enemy. They're on the same team.
Amen.
We got to get that.
Okay, Mark, hang on, Larry. I know you want to get in. Just a second, Larry. Hey, Mark, so you're saying the heartbeat bill is going to pass Ohio?
I mean, Lord willing. It's a done deal unless something out of left field happens.
New governor said he would sign it.
That's correct. It is on the fast track. Now, anything can happen. We all know that. So keep praying. Let's get this thing done.
Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, you know, that verse about if they're not against us, he's for us. Now, remember, the disciples have said that this person was doing that in the authority of Jesus, in Jesus' name.
That's right.
And then there's that same basic saying was recorded in another gospel, and it was put from the other direction. It says, if they're not for us, they're against us. Now, both of those, that might seem to contradict each other, but they both say exactly the same thing. There are two sides.
Two evil things.
And good.
Amen. Hang on, George.
Hey, Mark, real quick. I met you last year at Coaches at the annual meeting, and, man, I learned so much from you about how to fight a better fight at the clinics. And I just want to thank you for all that you do. And anyone on the huddler that's listening, I think, you know, obviously Coach is a great place to put money, but Mark is too. I agree with Coach. You do something that I don't see anywhere else in the abortion fight. So keep up the good work. We're behind you financially and in prayer.
Amen. Well, God bless you guys.
Hey, Mark.
I'll give Coach an update on the heartbeat bill. We'll keep you guys in the loop.
Mark. Hey, Mark, here's an analogy. It's real simple. Why do we lock our doors at night? Does that keep the bad guy out, or is that just a method, a measure to keep an honest person honest? Why do we now put alarm systems in our house? It's another measure. Why do people put walls and fences around their house? It's another measure to deter evil from coming in. That's all it is. It's real simple.
Hey, Mark.
It's not iniquitous.
Mark, real quickly, Kevin Bushy put up here in the talk this good point. Mark, do you have material that has the talking points on it? Do you have little brochures that we can give to people that when they make a phone call, they have the talking points so they learn how to debate the abortion debate? Do you have that kind of material?
Well, yeah, the best thing is really our FAQs online on createequal.org. Just go to the FAQs and all the arguments against abortion are there.
Okay. So maybe we can, I could even condense that into some type of sheet.
There are brochures out there, and if you want, I can look one up and give it to you. But the ones we hand out on campus aren't exhaustive. They're just opening conversation. That's what they do.
Because, Mark, there's really only about two or three arguments you got to win, right? It's alive. It's its own body. It's not the mother's body. And are you allowed to murder somebody? That's really, it doesn't go much beyond that, does it?
It doesn't. That's right. You can establish that they're human at conception. They deserve rights. People get it. That's why the visuals are so important.
Hey, man. Hey, Mark, thanks, man. Thanks for all you do. And I know this, man, that you're going to get the job done with all those kids. Lexi will be with you this weekend, so take good care of her. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks for having me, brother.
Okay, buddy.
All right.
Okay, somebody want to come in here now that Mark has to leave? He wants to get down there because they're debating the heartbeat bill today down there.
Yeah. Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Hey, this is Jeff and Fallon.
Hey, Jeff.
I just pulled up a Senate Bill 179. And talk about incremental changes in abortion.
Right.
This year, they want to eliminate, repeal parental notification requirements for abortions performed upon pregnant minors.
So the left is constantly using incrementalism, aren't they, Jeff?
Yep.
Constantly. Hey, folks, you know what they call that in football? First down, move the stakes. We want to throw a bomb every play and score every play. So, well, if we can't gain all 90 yards, I don't want 10 of them. That's stupid. And listen, we have lost this battle. We are trying to reclaim ground. And we're not going to win the battle with one bomb. It just isn't going to work that way, folks. Look, did you see yesterday the United States Senate could not come up with enough votes to protect born children? Do you hear what I'm saying? They couldn't get enough votes to protect born children. And we think we're going to overturn abortion? What is wrong with our thinking? See, so it has to happen incrementally. And I believe this. I believe that when one heartbeat bill passes the muster of the Supreme Court, it's a new ball game, baby. New ball game from that point on.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Remember, by the inch, it's a cinch. By the yard, it's hard. And these people, the reason that they won't do that at a federal level, they love the money and they love the taste of blood, baby blood.
That other team does for sure. That other team does for sure. Let me get.
Hey, well, Dave, I would argue that the pro-life team wants money too. Why That's put right. themselves out of a cause if they're putting roadblocks in the way and it's a, there's no way they know incrementalism works.
They do.
They know it. And they don't want it because why? Because that's their living. That's their breadbasket.
That's right, folks.
Amen, Chad. You hear
nice. Listen, the National National Right to Life organizations, the average pro-lifer on the street wants to see abortion ended. See, I heard people say, well, hey, coach, you end abortion. What are you going to do for money, huh? As if I want money more than I want to save babies. What an insult that is, right? But the National Right to Life and many of these national pro-life organizations who are funneling money to the legislators, I'm not so sure they want to end abortion. I'm not so sure. So when the group out there is criticizing those of us who are trying to do it incrementally, they're lobbing us in that group called pro-lifers. And it's just an affront to me. It's just an affront to insinuate that somebody wants to end baby killing more than me is an affront. I'm sorry, it is. Somebody else, come on in. Doesn't matter. Coach, let me. Yeah,
Coach, real quick. The biggest problem here is that it's like doctors, pharmacists, and all those guys. Why would they want to give you the cure to cancer or to any given disease when the dollars keep rolling in? And abortion, this is why abortion right now is not going down, because it's creating income. Whether they love it or they hate it,
that's
it
money.
Creates income.
Jared, go to my Facebook page real quickly. Sorry, Vic. I'm looking at the clock.
Hey, Coach. Wait,
come on in, George. Yeah.
You know, Coach, in my opinion, anyone that attacks people like you or me or anyone that believes doing things incrementally, as well as if we could just flat out abolish abortion, it's a pride thing. It's a pride thing because you don't attack someone on the same team. You can have a disagreement with them and walk away peacefully, but you don't attack and separate. That is pride and ego.
George.
And that is right out of the pit of hell.
That's right. Listen, I got a debate with a guy yesterday. I said, I never had anybody on our team ever that was one of our enemies. Nobody on our football team in our locker room was an enemy. We were all pushing for the same goal. And when you start calling people on your own team the enemy, we got ourselves a problem, boys. And that's where we are. See, abortion is now we have denominations in abortion, right? We got this pro-life group. That's one denomination. We got this one. That's another denomination. We got the abolitionists. They're another denomination. We don't play well together. Let me show you something. By the way, folks, if you look on the screen right now, God, I'm getting old. I got a video I made the other day done. It's about 8 minutes, and it's really good. I'm not going to play it now, but I suggest all of you, if you can, get to my Facebook page and watch that. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. It was the first live video I was able to do on Facebook, and I don't know how long. This is not what I want you to see, Jared. Scroll down a little bit. Hey, guys, listen. I'm right there. Stay right there. Now, folks, listen to me. I want you to hear me. I had a conversation with Chad last night, and not that Chad's my guru, but, you know, you talk to other people, things begin to make sense. We have to fight the fight where you are. That's why we're going to go to Allentown, Pennsylvania this weekend, and Bobby Lee's putting on the huddle out there. You know, we'll get that up on the screen here in a second, too. You got to fight the fight that's in front of you, okay? Got to fight the fight. But please hear me. I don't care if Donald Trump has spies on his team. I can't do anything about it. I don't care if the Jews are controlling Donald Trump. I don't care. I can't do anything about it. I don't care if Donald Trump is working for the big bankers. I can't do anything about it. I can't. I mean, he may be. I know this. He's all we got. Donald Trump's all we got. Okay? And I'm not going to get in a debate about who is pulling Donald Trump's strings and really we're all being set up and we're fools and they're tied to the Jews and oh, my goodness. And now, okay, listen. We've got to realize that there are two things that you and I in particular can accomplish. Right now, two things. Don't listen to that stuff. Don't be motivated by it. Don't be controlled by it. Don't say, well, I can't fight this because the Jews are behind it. Stop it. Stop it. we can end abortion. Right now, right where you live, you can have an impact on abortion right where you live. Okay? And number two, we can have an impact on this deviant sexual agenda in our public schools, in our community. We can have you can organize and fight at your school board. You can organize and fight at your libraries. You can organize and fight wherever you see this deviant sex stuff going on. And you can make a difference right where you are on abortion. Now, I don't know if Jared Kushner is controlling abortion. I don't know that, but he doesn't control it where I am. And Donald Trump is not our savior. He is not our savior. But while Donald Trump is president of the United States, we've had a window of opportunity we have never had. Never have had this opportunity. And it's not in Trump we trust. It's in God we trust, in Christ we trust. And the rest of it is window dressing and distractions. Do what you can do where you can do it. Do it now. We're running out of time. Now, I want to show this video up here. That's our focus, my focus, abortion and the deviant sexual.
One thing, too. I want to, because the words matter. Terms matter. We let the left or whoever define things. We're not calling it abortion anymore. That's retired. That's set aside. Put it in your sock drawer and close it up. It's fanticide, and that's what it is. That's the new term. I'm not going to use that abortion anymore. That's out of there. Okay, look, we're getting aggressive, and it's called infanticide, and that's what it is. Call it what it is.
You can't abort a born baby. They're killing born babies, man. It's infanticide.
Amen,
it's not abortion. Wipe that word out of your mouth, all right? Wipe that word out of your mouth. Okay, and I'm going to show you something here. This is the good – see, we have lost because we've been convinced of what the left has told us, that the courts are in control and you can't do anything about it. But we still have science on our side. And I don't know if you guys have seen this video that Mark Harrington put together. This is a debate between a doctor and Willie Parker. Willie Parker is the black abortionist you'll see on the screen in Jackson, Mississippi. He claims to be a Christian, and he says the work that he's doing is God's work. Killing babies is God's work. Now, I want you to watch this. It's only about 2-3 minutes. And for those of you who can't see the screen, listen closely, and you'll be able to hear Dr. Willie Parker, as this doctor pins him down on whether it's a human being or not, whether it's alive, whether you ready? This is unbelievable. How we are losing this battle is beyond me. Go ahead and play that, Jared. Hang on, folks. He's getting it. Jared, I'm not hearing it. Is everybody else hearing it? Hang on there, folks. He's getting it set up. So this is a debate.
No audio. No audio.
Here we go. Here we go.
So when you crush a human skull, it's not really gray matter. It's white brain matter that oozes out.
What's your point?
No, I'm asking you a question. Is the brain matter that oozes out when you crush a human skull white?
What does it matter?
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
It is wrong to kill an innocent human being. I agree. Abortion kills a human being. I agree.
Stop when that, Jared. Abortion. Because this is for the people who are not watching this. This is the abortion doctor saying it's wrong to kill a human being. And when I do an abortion, I kill a human being. Listen to it again. Play it again, Jared.
It is wrong to kill an innocent human being. I agree. Abortion kills a human being. I agree. When I do an abortion, I am clear what she has asked me to do for her. Mm-hmm. I am clear that she's asked me to remove a fetus from her. I am clear that in your terms, it is intentional killing of a fetus.
So when you crush a human skull, it's not really gray matter, it's white brain matter that oozes out?
What's your point?
No, I'm asking you a question. Is the brain matter that oozes out when you crush a human skull white?
What does it matter? You've described what I do. So what is your point?
My point is that it intentionally kills an innocent human being. Would you concede the point?
My first concession was to your first two syllogisms, okay, that abortion kills a human being. It is the intentional disruption of a pregnancy that kills a human being.
How many innocent human beings have you intentionally killed in your life's work?
I don't know. I don't
measure my count. Work.
I don't.
You've lost count.
If it's a million,
10,000?
20,000.
20,000?
What's the difference?
What's the difference between 20,000 and 30,000?
Yes. No.
10,000 dead human beings. Okay. That's the difference. Okay. That all
men are created. There you go, folks. There you go. Somebody come on in here. Help me out.
That's crazy, Coach.
Well, I thought at least they had Vic. Go ahead, Vic.
Go ahead, Vic.
That's crazy. And then the guy has the audacity. He has that Hillary spirit. You can see it. What difference does it make? What, you know, how can you do that? These guys, they have that spirit. They all have that spirit.
Vic, how can we let him do it? Come on in, Chad.
Well, I was just going to say he's smoked. You know, there's no fear. It's like illegal immigrants getting up there in the middle of a Border Patrol meeting and saying, I'm illegal and I'm proud of it. What are you going to do about it?
That's right.
Nothing. You're going to do nothing.
And, Chad, he ain't denying it's a human being, right? He's not using that.
That's right.
He's not using the infanticide argument. Oh, it's not a human being. It's just a fetus. It doesn't have a heartbeat. So, yeah, I'm killing him. Yeah. Yeah. I'm killing human beings.
Yeah, and what are you going to do about it? Nothing.
What are you going to do about it? That's right.
Oh, it ain't even legal.
Hey, Coach.
George.
We have a black Tulsa female police officer at the abortion clinic whenever I'm down there, and she, to our face, calls abortion justifiable homicide.
She does.
She calls it that. Yep.
Justifiable homicide.
Yep.
Hey, look, I'm looking in the chat. I'm seeing a lot of people want a copy of that thing. Listen, folks, I don't know how to copy that, Jared. I don't know if you can get that in there for us or not, but you can just go to Created Equal on Facebook. It's on their page. Created Equal. Jared put it in there in the links. Created Equal on the Facebook page, and that video is available to you. Somebody else, come on in. Okay, people see, folks, I get a little bit of pushback because they say, Coach, every time I tune in here, you're talking about abortion. Well, it's the issue of our lifetime, folks.
Well, my question is, why do you got a problem with it? You know, end it. We'll quit talking about it. That's right.
And you know, interestingly, I posted a meme on my Facebook page yesterday. And I said, how many of you did your church actively participate? Did your pastor actively talk about the day of mourning? Sad, man. Sad. So again, how are our pastors missing what's going on in the culture? Pastor Mike, can you come in and help us with that? Pastor Dale, how are pastors missing what's going on in the culture? Or are they missing it? Or are they simply ignoring it? I mean, it baffles me. See, the whole America should have been in a day of mourning. Every church should have been open. People on their faces repenting of abortion. They say, well, there wasn't enough publicity on it. Okay, well, maybe there wasn't. Somebody come on in.
That's the clergy response team, bro. That's what that is. They're being manipulated. They're being manipulated so that they can't get involved.
Put your hat back on, Vic. I know pastors who aren't part of the clergy response team who didn't do a damn thing. They ain't part of no clergy response team, although I get what you're saying. Listen, we've got to get our head out of, I love you, Vic, conspiracy theories and get to the practicality as why didn't your pastor say something about it? Why didn't he say something about it? Not that he's on the clergy response team, not that he's a 501c3. Why didn't your pastor say something about it? And here's a better question. Did you ask him? Hey, Pastor, how come we didn't do anything about this? Did you ask him? No.
Hey,
I did.
Good.
I did.
Come on in. Yes, come on in. Randy?
I'm going to give you two examples. First, Peter, after he says, Jesus, you're the Christ, the Son of living God, just really quickly after that, probably within a few days, he says to Jesus, no, I'm not going to let you go to the cross and do all that. I'll kill anybody that comes in the way. Jesus looked at him and said, hey, Satan, get behind me. He said, you're an offense to me. He rebuked him. Another time, James and John wanted to call fire down from heaven and burn them up because they wouldn't let Jesus come into that city. He said, hey, boys, I rebuke you. Coach, here's what we need to do to the people when they're inspired by Satan. When they're, it's inspiration. They may be a Christian, but it's inspiration coming right out of their mouth. We need to look
at them
and say, I rebuke you. You are an offense to God. You are an offense to what he's trying to do here, and I rebuke you.
Amen, brother.
Defend them.
See, we have, if we're not careful, Randy, if we're not careful, we end up repeating thoughts that were not planted by God. They were not planted in our brain by the Holy Spirit. That's the danger in my mind of YouTube videos and all this kind of stuff. And I'm listening to people on YouTube videos, and I don't know a thing about them. I have no idea what their agenda is. I have no idea who they're connected to. So when I watch a YouTube video, I take it with a grain of salt. Now, I'm a little bit different. I think Q is real. But I don't bring it on here all the time and talk about Q. I don't do that because why? I filter it to the Holy Spirit for my edification, not for yours. You are at some point, some of you are going to have to grow up and get the Holy Spirit to function inside of you for your personal edification. Don't repeat it because I said it, right? That, listen, I'm a witness, but I'm not the truth, okay? And the truth that I'm trying to bring to you, I'm getting from somebody else, and it's bearing witness to my spirit, but it may not bear witness to yours. So if it's not bearing witness as truth to your spirit, then we need to find out why. Because the Lord's not going to tell me one thing and you another, all right? The Lord's not going to tell me the Q is real, QAnon is real, and tell you it's fake. The Holy Spirit isn't going to do that. So one of us is missing a connection here. We don't get mad about it. We don't fight about it. But I watch all these videos, and sometimes I sit back and say,
Coach, don't feed us anymore. Teach us how to fish. Yeah. Bring that spirit into us.
That's right. That's what I'm trying to do. Because I watch all you wouldn't believe some of the crazy stuff I watch, but I don't bring it here. I sift it through the Holy Spirit. Some of it I don't know. And I say, you know, Holy Spirit, you're going to guide me into all truth. I'll wait till you make that clear to me. Then I'll talk about it. But I ain't going to fly off the handle and talk about something that the Holy Spirit hasn't impressed upon me that is true. Fellas, we must be very, very careful with a disinformation campaign from the Father of Darkness. We have to be very, very careful with it. Because a lot of times when we get caught up in the conspiracy theories, that's all we look for. We just go from theory to theory to theory to theory to theory. And in the meantime, they're teaching homosex to your kids in the library. You get what I'm saying? So let's keep our eye on the ball and let's control what we can control where we can control it. That's what I'm trying to build anyway. I'm trying to build you to make an impact where you live. I'm not trying to build you to get on a team for me. We got enough of that.
When we know the will of God and we're walking in it, just like stopping abortion, I mean, there's no doubt that's the will of God. Okay, when someone steps in and says, you're not doing it right, and they're basically doing worthless what they're doing, we're not looking at them. We're looking right around behind them at what spirit is driving them. Amen. We're not rebuking them. We're rebuking this in their agenda.
Randy, that's your point. That's what Jesus did. He heard what Peter said, and he looked behind him. Who's talking to you, Peter? Who are you talking to, Willis?
That's my point, right? Coach. Yeah. Yes.
Who are you talking to, Willis? That's what we have to do. We have to do that. Who are you talking to, Willis? Look around to see who's behind him. Where is he getting that information? And so I come across people who think I'm crazy because you know why?
Who are you talking to, Willis?
They're talking to somebody else. They're not talking to the Holy Spirit. That's my take on it. I'm not holier than thou. The boys and girls, it's the battleground of the mind, and that is the fight that we fight. Mark Harrington was on here for a half hour, however long he was on here. In that short period of time, he equipped us with more truth than you will ever get watching most videos. Just take that little truth that he gave you there and just operate just with that little nugget of truth. Show the victims. It works. Show the victims. It works.
Amen.
Right? Don't get caught up. Eyewitness. You become an eyewitness.
Nothing stronger.
That's right, brother. And we better understand that evil is everywhere trying to lie to us, to convince us wrong is right and right is wrong. And we got to be smart enough to understand it, man. When you get yourself, listen, I think myself, Coach Dave, I think saving babies with heartbeats, and I'm not moving off of it. I'm going to stand on that. And then after we save baby with heartbeats, then we're going to go. Well, then we're going to push the ball farther. Amen. We're going to go save babies. Then we're going to go save all babies, right? But I'm going to dig. I'm going to stick a flag in the ground, and I'm not going to move. Hey, hang on. One more thing, and I'm done. Listen to all my pro-life friends out there running big national organizations, doing all kinds of good and wonderful stuff and everything. You better pick a place we can win and focus on it. When I was a football coach and I found out we could run off tackle, you know what we did? We ran off tackle. We didn't pass it. We didn't run sweeps. We ran off tackle. We found the weakness in them and we exposed it. Can I tell you something? Ohio's weak. Iowa's weak. Texas is weak. Oklahoma, they're weak. There's a hole in their defense. We better attack there. Keep our eye on the ball. Keep it simple and play where we can win. God bless you. See you tomorrow.
Amen.